Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, if you're in need of a pick-me-up, that'll do it. Hey, hey, welcome to the start of your work week. Welcome to the start of my work week. Maybe it's not the start of your work week. It's a bit of a jolt to the system to get back in here in studio at CBS Sports Radio headquarters and start yapping about sports again. But this time of the year, there's always something and then something else and then something else going on. So we have plenty to get to, like racing in the fog. Oh my gosh. I was driving 850 miles on Saturday. I was not racing, not legally anyway. And so I had to watch the Preakness Stakes on YouTube when I got home. Is that how it aired on TV as well? In all of the fog? So I went to the NBC Sports YouTube channel, and I'm assuming they pulled it right off the TV feed. Holy cannoli, you could barely see the horses for a good portion of that race. And yet, Larry Kalmus did an amazing job. We'll let you hear that play-by-play of the Preakness, the second leg of the Triple Crown. Much smaller field at Pimlico, and yet very similar conditions. Muddy and nasty. I told this story when the Kentucky Derby was taking place. It was the same weekend that I was supposed to run a charity 5K in my neighborhood, and it was pouring that morning, and so I just went back to bed. The poor horses, Justify specifically, keeps having to run in these sloppy, messy, nasty, muddy conditions. And with the fog, I guess he could see the horse next to him, so that was all that really mattered. But interesting TV. I don't think I've ever seen a race like that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. 855-212-4227. We'll definitely get some calls this week. And I see that your tweets are coming into A-Law Radio. If you wanted to see a few pictures that I tweeted from vacation, you can check out my profile page. I didn't tweet much. I will put some more pictures up over the course of the show. I've just posted a video on Facebook, and I want you to guess, if you can, where I was on vacation. You guys are pretty good at your geography. And for those of you who are spread out all over the country, obviously in different beach locales, you may think I was in your special place. Let's see. Couple of hints. Well, I just told you I had to drive 850 miles. So I live outside of New York City in New Jersey, and it took me 850 miles of driving. I stopped on the way there to visit family and broke it up. But I couldn't. I just had to, my butt hurt so bad by the time I got in my driveway on Saturday night. But I couldn't stop knowing that I had to work on Sunday. I just had to tough it out. The poor dog, she was ready to never get in a car again. So Penny and I had a grand old time. So 850 miles, you know it was a beach. Let's see, how about some other hints? Near, it was an island near the Marine Corps' top recruiting station in the entire country. If you know where Paris Island is, it wasn't that far from Paris Island. Also very historical part of the country, huge in its Civil War history. I stayed on the same island that Tom Hanks stayed on when he filmed Forrest Gump. Yes. Tom Hanks is my all-time favorite actor, and I didn't even know this until I got down there and was reading about the area. And as it turns out, Tom Hanks and his family stayed on the very same island that I vacationed on back when he was filming Forrest Gump. I actually went to buy fish from the same fish company, this family that's been there forever, the same fish company that was on the river right where Tom Hanks and Gary Sinise filmed the scene where Forrest jumped out of his boat because he saw Lieutenant Dan on the dock. He just jumped out of his boat and was like, Lieutenant Dan. And he waves with that huge grin on his face and he leaves the boat. And then behind him, the boat then keeps going and plows through a dock, which, as I found out from the locals, was a flotation device. It wasn't actually a dock. So don't worry. No docks were hurt in the filming of Forrest Gump. So, yes, Tom Hanks stayed on the same island when he was filming Forrest Gump. The Prince of Tides was also filmed in this area. That's their two big cinematic claims to fame. Oh, the only climbable lighthouse in this state is the next island over. Those are some good ones. It was a wildlife habitat. So one night I went for a bike ride. The deer don't care, man. They just, you ride right by them. They couldn't care less. The deer picked up his head to look at me, and I couldn't move over because there was a car that was coming right next to me on my left side. So I was literally biking right along the side of the road. The deer picks up his head, looks at me. I can hear him chewing his grass. That's how close to this deer I was. He didn't move. They just don't care. Oh, and Penny got charged by a deer, by a mama deer. That's a good story, too. I'll tell you that one later this hour. I could tell something was going on with mama deer because she was coming right at us slowly, but had that look in her eyes. And I, again, was kind of trapped on my side of the road because there were a bunch of cars and I couldn't get over. And the deer just keeps coming. And the deer had her eyes set on Penny. Penny loves the sand, by the way. It took her 2.3 seconds to roll in the sand the first time. So I'm pretty sure we brought back sand from our vacation location as well. Anyway, so I'd love to hear from you. If you can guess where it was that I spent my vacation, send me your tweets, A-Law Radio. There is a video up on Facebook if you would like to see it. I have some really cool stories that I want to share, including the one about Penny getting charged by the deer. So I'll sprinkle those in during the show. But yes, I'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for your tweets and your Facebook messages about missing me. I know you don't have to do that. All right, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Remember, I told you when we started that we were debunking the myth that network radio, network sports radio is East Coast centric and has an East Coast bias. If you listen to me for any length of time, you recognize that is not the case. But even the most biased for the East Coast host that you could possibly come up with could not ignore the two biggest stories in sports on Sunday came from the West Coast. And that includes the Final Four in hockey.
Nosek pulls it away on the backhand. Nosek banks at left point. Spies at the lefty. Shuffles lefty. Shoots. Scores! Off the pipe and in. Lucas Spiesa with Ryan Reeves parked in front. And the Knights take a 2-1 lead. Checked off on the far board. 7 seconds. Right wing shot sails wide. 5 seconds to go. On the near boards. A tie-up. 2 seconds. A centering feed. And it goes wide. And that's it. It's over. The Knights are going to the Stanley Cup Final. 2-1, the final score. Vegas wins 2-1. Ryan Reeves, the game-winning goal. Alex Tuck got the scoring going. Ryan Reeves, the tip-in, his first Golden Knights goal. And it's the winner in the Western Conference Finals. Vegas claims the Campbell Bowl for the Western Conference Championship.
Congratulations to the Vegas Golden Knights. Now, it is unfortunate that they haven't had a chance to celebrate any of their series wins so far in the postseason because all of them have been on the road. This is the third consecutive series win for the Golden Knights in which they have been on the road to close it out. But they win 4 consecutive games, and you hear with Dan Duva on the Knights Radio Network, they are headed to the Stanley Cup Final. Wowzers, what an incredible story. I've heard some people call this the story of the year. That may be the case. I think if they win the Stanley Cup, I mean, you're talking about rarefied air, unprecedented historical run by this franchise in its first year. It's amazing to watch, not because they don't have good players, okay? We're not talking about an expansion team. We're not talking about an expansion team that doesn't have good guys and doesn't have veterans on its team. We're not talking about a team that's made up of all newbies and young people. We're talking about you know, an expansion draft that allowed a bunch of veterans to be there. And so guys like James Neal and Marc-Andre Fleury and Derek England, who is one of the alternate captains too, all of these guys have been leaders and have been forces on other teams in the past. And they all came together with the chip on their shoulder. So yes, they've got good players. They call themselves the Golden Misfits because they play on the idea that they weren't supposed to do a whole lot this year. And they play on the idea that they were left unprotected, most of them, not all of them, they were left unprotected by their previous clubs, right? So those are powerful motivating factors. Now, some of these guys came over in trade. Some of them were part of the actual NHL draft. But the way that Gerard Gallant has coached them, the way that he has allowed his six veterans, so they don't have captains, they have alternates, six of them, and it's essentially a core of guys that he goes to rely on them for leadership, to help him make decisions. They're not treated like an expansion franchise. They don't act like an expansion franchise. They've been professionals. They've recognized the challenge. They didn't give themselves any leeway, any slack, and say, oh, well, you know, we're not necessarily supposed to do anything this year, so why don't we just get our feet wet? No. They were thrown on the ice and told to become a pro team, and that's exactly what they did. And you can't underestimate the fact that, yes, they've got an extra motivation that other teams don't, but also taking into account a sold-out arena every single time they were on their own ice, that's huge. And guys who've got Stanley Cup winning experience. Or in the case of James Neal, a guy who just played in the final last year along with Marc-Andre Fleury. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We've had the general manager, George McPhee, on the show a couple of times. He's always so gracious to us. The last time was about the midway point of the season. And he spoke so highly of their professionalism and their work ethic. And of course, about his coach. The coach who wants the players to shine, who treats the players like they're men, who gives them the responsibility, but also doesn't baby them. There's no talk about playoffs. You know, the owner of the team, his name is Bill Foley. He actually said last summer, we don't have high expectations for this year. He said, we're going to be pretty good in 3 years and we'll make a run in 5 or 6. I love that. And now here are the Vegas Golden Knights, who win 4 straight games against the Winnipeg Jets after dropping the opener. And they're just the second expansion team since 1960 in the 4 major pro sports to reach the championship series in its inaugural season. I love it. If it's not the story of the year in sports, then you have to tell me what is. If this isn't the story of the year, and I know the year isn't over, but even going back to this time last year, is there a story that to you carries more weight, that's more impressive, that's maybe more unprecedented than this one? I don't know. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Okay, during our break, I'll post a video from vacay. Some of you sending your guesses about where I spent my last week. It was the beach. I've given you some hints. There's also a video up on Facebook. It's an extra motivator, by the way, for me to go to Vegas. I've never been, and now I feel like this amazing hockey team, it's where I want to go just so I can see them play and be in that arena. And of course, there are other things to do in Vegas. But yeah, now that there's a pro sports franchise there, I don't know that I'd necessarily want to go to see the Las Vegas Raiders. I like the fact that it's brand new and that Vegas waited a really long time for their own team, and that they've embraced it with such an incredible veracity. There's this love affair going on with the Golden Knights and their fans. And yet here they are, having clinched their third consecutive postseason series on the road. Bit ironic. All right, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Guy named Scott just tweeted me. He thinks I went to Saudi Arabia for my vacation. Yes, I could drive there in 850 miles. I made the trip in one day by car with my dog. Impressive, right? Do you know they built a tunnel under the ocean? So I'm all good. I do see that some of you are really close on Twitter. One person has it right on Twitter. One person has it right on Facebook. The exact place where I vacationed. As you can, I hope, understand, I didn't want to give my vacation location out before I went because I didn't feel like that was necessary. I actually had really awesome weather. There was tornado weather, tornado, severe weather, and some tornadic activity in New York area during the middle of the week. My poor house sitter had to worry about my plants all week because they were getting deluged by rain, and I just planted vegetables and la, 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 la. Anyway, it was really bad weather for many parts of the East Coast. I had friends in Florida and friends and family from D.C. on north who were talking about how bad the weather was all week. Ben and Brian are with me tonight. Did you guys even see the sun last week?
Not at all. Thanks for reminding us.
Anyway, so some friends of mine would send me texts like, oh, I'm so sorry that your vacation's ruined by the weather. Except where I was, apparently there was an umbrella over my island because we had one morning of rain. That's it. Every other day was awesome beach weather and really hot and sunny and, oh, so good. So I guess I picked the right week to go on vacation. Yeah, so you can guess. Send me your guesses, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. I did just put a video up on Twitter, and so maybe that'll help. I gave you some clues. Maybe this will help. 855-212-4227 is CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. And if you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. James is listening in D.C. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks for taking my call, Amy. Mm-hmm. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
You know, the great thing about your show is you know your basketball. It ain't no secrets at this point. It's a matter of Houston guards or Houston players doing what they need to do to beat Golden State, and Golden State doing what they need to do. And the thing about Golden State, you're right, is too much talent. I mean, you can
No, I didn't say too much. That would be your phrase.
They have too much talent. And what I mean by that is if James Harden don't show up, Houston is not going to even have a chance to beat Golden State. Jeff Curry cannot show up. You got Klay Thompson, you got Durant, you got Draymond Green. You know, it's just too much talent. And they won't beat Golden State in seven games. I think they're picking their spots. It's like battling a giant. You jump out there, they're gone. Okay, there's no way they're going to beat them when Steph Curry's back on track, and then you've got either Harden not on. You understand what I'm saying? It's hard to beat them. And they wasn't executing. You're right about that. And they knew they wasn't executing. And they knew they wasn't going to win that game. That's the bottom line. Thank you for taking my call.
All right, James. I appreciate your support and you listening in Washington, D.C. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk to Tom, who's in Tucson. Tom.
Hi, Amy. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I hope you had a good vacation.
Thank you.
But, I think this this Golden State team is pretty much unbeatable, but you have to play the game. So they're not going to just hand them the trophy. I don't know who's going to win between Cleveland and Boston, but one of those teams is probably underrated against them, Golden State, but you have to play the game. And that's, you know, I was always a New York Knicks fan, and this Golden State team, they remind me of that old Knicks team, you know, from like 69 to 74 with Frazier and Reed. And Draymond Green is an enforcer, and the Knicks had an enforcer, Willis Reed. You know, you hope it never comes down to it, but a team needs to know that there is a guy on that team. If push comes to shove, he's going to back you up. And if I had a wish, I wish I could have been in that locker room before Game 7 against the Lakers back then when Reed was hurt. I wish I could have listened to what Coach Holzman said to them, because the whole thing is confidence and being more than the sum of your parts. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I don't ever ascribe to the theory that a team is unbeatable. I don't think there's any such thing as unbeatable or invincible or irreplaceable or I'm not into the absolutes, because that's not true. In sports, the one thing we should know is that anything can and will happen. You work in this business long enough, or you watch sports long enough, and you get shocked by events or moments routinely. And so I don't believe that there's any such thing as unbeatable. And we just saw Golden State lose by 22. That's the part that's so quirky about this series, and that's so weird about the way the conference finals have been. I mean, generally the NBA playoffs have been competitive and interesting and fun. We've had buzzer beaters. We've had 7-game series. And now here we've got these 6 games so far in the East and the West combined, in which the smallest margin of victory has been 13 and the largest has been 41. I mean, it's kind of weird at this point, though I certainly have enjoyed the games. I kind of miss the buzzer beaters. And so, yeah, no such thing as unbeatable. The Warriors definitely have shown that they are beatable this year. Their bench is not nearly as deep. They've obviously had some injuries they've had to combat and deal with. There are times when they haven't shown the intensity and the want to, the desire on defense, but not quite as much a problem in the playoffs. But, you know, there are just times when they're not as aggressive. And obviously it's basketball, so there are times when your shots don't drop. And then there are times when your shots come back and you can't miss, Steph Curry. Steph's mom apparently scolded him for dropping the F-bomb on the court. That was, I don't know if it was picked up on the camera, but you could clearly read lips. He was talking about how this was his effing house. And so he got yelled at by his mom for swearing. My mom would do the same thing. I wonder if she also scolded him for pooping on the court. Remember last year he pantomimed pooping on the court in Cleveland during the NBA Finals? Remember that whole debate? I think it was Game 3 when Kevin Durant had that stretch at the end of the game where he scored all those points. And remember, he hit that huge three over the top of LeBron James, and they kind of stole Game 3 out from underneath the Cavaliers. I feel like that was the game where if you Google Steph pooping on the court, you'll see it. We have an emoji for that and everything. All right, coming up, I appreciate your guesses about where I was on vacation. I'll tell you a couple really cool stories. Well, one cool story, one story that's guaranteed to make you laugh.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I definitely wondered during the course of the Preakness Stakes how much Larry Kalmus could actually see as he was calling that race, probably off of a monitor more than he was calling it by actually watching the horses go around the track at Pimlico. Because at least on the monitor, you could see NBC trying to zoom in with his cameras to get as much of the jockey silks as it possibly could. Yeah, crazy how foggy it was. And yet at the end, it turned out to be a fantastic finish. And Justify holds off the challenge, and he now is a Triple Crown contender. In the next few weeks, we'll find out if we have another Triple Crown winner. But just awesome to watch these horses run. Since you couldn't actually watch it, well, then you could hear it in the fog. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I'm sure this wasn't the point of the broadcast, but as I was watching it playback on YouTube, I did laugh a bunch because you could hear them. You knew they were there, but there were parts of the race where you couldn't actually see the horses, and you just had to take Larry's word for it. That he knew what was happening. All right. So I appreciate all of your tweets and your Facebook guesses about where I went on my vacation. I have seen some of you guess correctly. I've dropped a bunch of hints. And some of you, of course, are from the area. So it makes sense to you when I mention Paris Island, when I mention, and what was really cool is that there were some military choppers and jets that flew over the beach when I was out there a couple of days. So that was awesome, too. But yeah, Paris Island and the only climbable lighthouse in the state, the Civil War history of the particular city that's nearby, and Tom Hanks staying on the same island when he filmed Forrest Gump. And it's a wildlife habitat, which brings me to a couple of really cool stories. Well, one cool story that I still can't believe happened. I'm sure you're not surprised when I tell you I cried because it was so amazing. Because I cry over everything. I cry when I'm happy. I cry when I'm sad. I cry when I'm surprised. I cry when something awesome happens. But then there was another story that had to do with wildlife that that I actually screamed over. So thank you for your tweets, A-Law Radio. There is a video up now from the beach, if that's going to help you guess it. And there's also a video up on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So Penny and I walked every morning. Penny is my dog. She's an Australian Shepherd. She has long hair, so we couldn't be out in the middle of the daytime for very long. So I would take her for her long walk in the morning. And that's also when the deer were out eating. And there were a lot of deer. I mentioned earlier this hour that I was taking a bike ride on Friday and I couldn't move over because there was a car next to me. And I pedaled past a deer that was so close to me, I could hear her chewing. And she didn't move. She just looked at me as I pedaled by. There was another time when I biked by a group of deer and I could hear them pulling the grass out of the ground. That's how close. I mean, that's not a loud noise. And yet I could hear them actually pulling the grass out to eat. So it was awesome how close you would get to them. But one particular morning, I was walking Penny, and we had moved over away from, there was a bike path and a path where a lot of walkers would walk their dogs in the morning. There was a pit bull and another with another owner on the other side of the road. And so Penny's a little older. She gets a little crankier around other dogs now, and I'm kind of careful, even though she's on a leash. And so I had moved over to the other side of the road. And then while I had done that, there were a bunch of cars that were driving by. There's only one main road in and out of the island. And so it would get pretty trafficked in the morning. Anyway, so there's this group of deer, and among them is a baby fawn, like spotted fawn, still has its spots, adorable little thing, almost like it was trying to still use, like figure out how to use its legs. And it's mama, who was tall, and who, from the second she picked up her head and looked at me and my dog, had this wild look in her eyes. And instead of fading away, there's plenty of lawn for her to walk away on, plenty of grass to eat, she's walking toward me and the dog. Now, at the beginning, I thought, okay, maybe she's just trying to send a little warning shot, like, you know, icicles. She's glaring icicles at us to make sure that we don't come any closer. No, she just continued to walk toward us to the point where there's a pickup truck coming and the truck actually stops because the driver thinks that the deer is going to walk across the road. No, she wasn't going that far. She was just charging my dog. So here comes this deer. I've never seen this before. Here comes this deer, stands up kind of slightly on her back legs and starts pawing the air with her front legs and then takes these two huge steps right at Penny. So I scream a little bit like, this deer's coming right at us. Meanwhile, Penny thinks, Australian Shepherds are by nature very protective of their owners. So Penny thinks the deer is coming at me and she stands up on her back legs and starts barking and trying to get at the deer. So we almost had a deer dog fight, which I don't know who would have won. I'm assuming Penny would have gotten kicked with one of those hooves pretty badly. But yeah, she wasn't going to back down either. So I kind of screamed and pulled the dog back. Thankfully, the pickup truck had stopped because I was backing up into the path of an oncoming pickup truck, which wouldn't have been good for me. Maybe my dog would have survived the deer charging, but I would have had some severe injuries and potentially a concussion and been in concussion protocol. Anyway, so that was kind of interesting. I'd never seen a deer charge a dog before, especially when she had all kinds of room to be able to go away. And there's me who's like, because that was certainly helpful. So that was one morning adventure with my dog. another pretty amazing wildlife encounter. And I swear to you, this is the absolute truth. I wouldn't ever make something like this up. There was a sandbar off the coast of the island, and at high tide, you couldn't even see it. So it was completely covered at high tide. I had walked over there wanting to go over to the sandbar a couple of different times during the week, and I didn't catch it at the right time. So on Friday, I finally get out there. It's low tide. I'm like, yes, I'm swimming to the sandbar. Have my bathing suit on. By the way, it's kind of fun to hold your flip-flops and swim. I didn't want to leave them on the beach, and I didn't really know what else to do with them, and so I had to figure out how to swim with flip-flops. Yeah, it's not as easy as it sounds. Anyway, so it's a really strong current, so I fight the current, and I get across to the sandbar, and I'm like, it was not that far. It was like maybe 50 yards across to the sandbar, and I probably could have, I don't think the water would have ever been above my head, but it was such a strong current that it was hard to stand up. If you weren't swimming, you're probably going to get knocked over. So swimming with flip-flops, I made it over there. And there's hardly anybody out there on the sandbar because people are kind of afraid. They don't know how deep it is, so they're kind of afraid to get out there. So there's a couple of people that are on one side of it, and I kind of start walking the other direction toward the far end of the sandbar so I could just stand there, and it would be me and the Atlantic Ocean, and that's it. Keeping in mind, by the way, I knew I was going to have to swim, so I didn't have my phone, so I couldn't take pictures. So I'm out there on the sandbar, and I'm walking, and I see off in the distance, I would say, it was not quite a quarter mile, but pretty close. It's a pretty large sandbar. Off in the distance, I see this brown pole. Looks like a pole to me. And it's a sandbar. So I thought, okay, maybe it's a light pole. And at night, it lights up so that ships know that there's a sandbar there. And I get closer, and the pole has a white strip on top of it. What is that? And I keep walking and I keep walking and I get closer and I realize that the bottom of the pole is also white. The pole has not yet moved. And I keep walking and I keep walking. I'm not saying anything. There's nobody to talk to, right? There's nobody around. I'm just staring at this thing. And all of a sudden, the pole turns its head. It was a bird, brown, large brown bird that I could see from a quarter mile away with a white head and a white tail. And then when the bird turned and looked at me, I saw that bright yellow beak. There was a bald eagle sitting on this sandbar, and the bald eagle did not move until I got 20 yards away. I was so close to this eagle that I could see him looking at me and could see all of his features. It was awesome. I've never been that close to an eagle in the wild before. And he wasn't in a nest. He was sitting on the sandbar next to me. It was amazing. It was really windy out there on the sandbar, so he took off. But he didn't go high up. He kind of tried to fly under the wind, and he really just flew to another part of the sandbar when I got close. I just kept walking, and he waited again until I was about 20 yards away until he took off and flew away. I watched him until he was gone. I couldn't see him anymore. And typically you see them gliding, not actually flapping their wings and flying. So that was an experience too, it was awesome. The area is known for its osprey. There's osprey nests all over the place. In fact, on top of their telephone poles, they actually build platforms so that osprey can build their nests so that they're, stable and they can kind of control how close they are to the road. They didn't say anything about eagles, but there's this bald eagle, and he was so majestic and beautiful, and he just looked at me. Also, I hung out with a couple colonies of pelicans. That was fun. Once he took off, I was walking around the sandbar. There's just two big, huge colonies of pelicans hanging out. If you didn't make any noise, since there weren't hardly any people out on the sandbar, they just kind of looked at you, went back to what they were doing. So that was pretty neat. If you know me and you know how much I love animals and I also really love history, this was the perfect vacation for me. Plus, there was no Wi-Fi. I only watched TV at night for a couple hours. I read two books. I slept a lot. I cooked. Oh my gosh, I cooked the best steak, and I also bought some fresh fish and shrimp from the area and cooked. I baked. I baked s'mores. I had to try a new recipe for s'mores, so I had fun. It was a really good vacation. It was exactly what I needed. And Penny really enjoyed the sand. If you haven't seen the picture of Penny in the sand, for those of you who use Twitter, it's on there from earlier in the week, A-Law Radio. And there's also a video up now. And then on Facebook, I'm about to post some more pictures. I didn't use Facebook, not even once. That's a vacation right there. There's no Facebook the entire time. I did climb a lighthouse, and I took a video from the top of the lighthouse, so I suppose I could post that as well. Yeah, some of you are guessing, or some of you are also in the general vicinity, but you haven't yet guessed the exact location. I just kind of feel like I've had a brush with greatness because, you know, back in the 1980s, Tom Hanks stayed, or 90s, I guess it was the 90s when Forrest Gump came out. I can't remember exactly when. But that's kind of my new brush with greatness. My favorite actor stayed on the same island when he filmed one of his classic movies. So yeah, it was really cool. Thanks again for all of your I miss you tweets. And I actually didn't get any I didn't miss you tweets. Although I understand that the fill-in host, Zach Gelb, who I've met once, we don't generally work the same hours. I understand he had Terrell Owens on the show. Well, that's kind of funny. Maybe you didn't need me to come back. I could go back to my island and you could get some really cool guests like T.O. That's awesome. Also, Charles Barkley refuses to give up. Do we have that audio from the Inside the NBA set on TNT? Kevin Durant is sitting there and Charles Barkley refuses to give up.
Is Draymond Green as annoying in person as he is on television?
Annoying to who?
You should go talk to him downstairs.
Yeah, he ain't gonna do it.
Is he annoying? You're around him every day. He's annoying on television.
What annoys you about a Draymond?
He gonna apologize to him.
Downstairs, you can go ask him.
Yeah, go ask him, man.
Seriously, Charles Barkley will not give up on this. He actually asks KD on the TNT set, is he as annoying in person? And Shaq jumps in like, man, he's going to have to apologize for that too. I mean, the guy's like banging his head against a wall. He refuses to cut his losses and go away. Adam Schein brings his unmatched enthusiasm to a whole new level on his nightly show full of strong opinions and high energy. It's time to shine tonight at 6 Eastern on CBS Sports Network. We're halfway through. Thanks so much for tuning in. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.